Hi, Black Hollywood Live fans. Today, former L.A. Sheriff Lee Baca convicted, and Dylan Roof's friend goes to prison. That and more on Justice is Served with Shaka cheering next to me.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Lives. Justice is Served.
Okay, we're live and Snapchatting at the same time. Is that what you're doing?
It's called multitask.
Yeah, Instagram story. You know, in the age of all-consuming media, we have to...
Kids are doing multiple things at once these days. Yes. All right. Welcome to Justice is Served. My name is Chelsea Galicia, and I am here to bring you the latest in legal news every single week, along with my co-hosts, fellow attorneys Dominique Price and Shaka Smith. We are down one. You're down one yummy, but she'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. And we are here this week to give you a load of good news.
Yeah.
How I felt about this rundown.
Finally, right?
Oh, I needed some good news.
A great change of pace. Yeah. We've actually got some justice to serve on Justice is Served. Let's start with Dylan Roof's friend. So Dylan Roof, of course, is the Charleston church shooter. And his buddy went to, was being... been convicted, and he's going to go to prison. I'm so excited I can hardly speak. That's what's happening
right now. Yeah, it's one of those things where it kind of reminds us that if we see and hear things, we have a duty to, you know, let law enforcement...
If you see something,
That's not actually why he's actually being convicted, but I think it really would have helped his situation had he have been a little bit more forthcoming with the information that he knew.
If you see something, say something.
Yeah, but okay, so here's the background with it. This kid's name, I mean, he's a kid. He's 22 years old. His name is Joey Meek. Mm-hmm. He was a childhood friend of Dylan Roof, although they went for many years without talking and actually only got back in touch about a month before the shooting.
Yeah.
But in that month,
right,
he and Dylan were hanging out
daily,
doing fun stuff, apparently.
Drugs.
And in one of those moments, they were doing drugs and playing video games. Dylan Roof told him that he believed in segregation, that he wanted to start a race riot, and that he planned to shoot members at an all-black church. Mm-hmm. He also did say he wanted to do it on a Wednesday.
Yeah, because
because there were not a lot of people.
Yeah, he knew about Wednesday night services mm-hmm. at most black churches. If you've grown up in a black church, you know everything about Wednesday night service and a Thursday and a Friday, and then you're back on Sunday. And so he figured out of all the days that they're there, Wednesday was the day to hit.
So this guy, Joey, knew about this, heard it, but gives two sort of different stories. Mm-hmm. On one side, out of one side of his mouth says, I didn't really take it seriously.
Yes.
But on the other hand, one of those nights, it alarmed him enough that he took Dylan Roof's gun and sort of hid it from mm-hmm. him while he was asleep, but then the next day gave it back to him.
I think a few days later, I think he let a Wednesday pass and then he gave it back to him.
Oh. So,
and I had a friend that was a little crazy and talked about killing people and I kind of took the same tactic, but of course I said we can no
you
longer
took
hang
his
out.
Gun from him?
No, if he had a gun, I would have reported it. He didn't have a gun.
Right.
But, you know, he had a list of people he wanted to get rid of. I mean, it was clear he was having a psychotic break. But I just, you know, removed myself from the situation.
It's scary. I mean, let's take it back to the Virginia Tech shooter. Like, there were indication in some of their creative writing that they were planning a massacre.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you may think that these things are small and, you know, you don't want to get someone in trouble for joking or, you know, we all have moments where we, in the passion of things, might say something that we don't mean. But I think if there's a pattern of this kind of talk, we have a duty to our fellow community to report these things.
That's what I'd like to think.
It's just tough to know if it's real or not. It's tough to know if your friend is just kind of talking and not going to actually pursue it.
If, in this case, he had actually been convicted of failing to disclose that a crime was about to occur, then we would all have a reason to play it safe mm-hmm. and to err on the side of caution and report it even though we're 50% sure that somebody is joking. However, this case didn't do that.
He just pled guilty.
He pled guilty, but to lying to authorities after, because the FBI interviewed him, and he lied, and he said he didn't know anything about Dylan
Roof's
plans.
Right, so that's what he's actually being convicted for, is the lying to law enforcement, because there were a few questions that they asked him pertaining to the investigation that he completely lied about. Yeah. So there are a few things at play here. I thought it was really, really interesting when you read some of the testimony and what his attorney had put forth was that he shouldn't actually go to jail because
this is ridiculous.
He's going to be hurt when he gets there. Yeah. And I thought this was a very... Right. And I thought it was really... I had to laugh and chuckle a little bit because the judge's response was just like so awesome. Was like, well, that's kind of why he probably needs to go.
Right. Here's the quote from the judge. It's an odd inverse logic that I should not incarcerate him because inmates think so lowly of him.
I mean, I do feel for him to a degree, though.
I don't.
Because he probably thought, look, he's not going to do this. I took the gun away. I maybe waited a Wednesday. What was I thinking? He's not actually going to follow through. And so, to a degree, he's not going to be in prison with people that do want to hurt him. And the alternative is what? Solitary? Which is, we know that kind of
Might happen.
That actually might happen.
But we know how, like, deleterious that can be for the mind. To
So that's what 24 months?
Yeah.
No, his, thank you.
That's
I'll
what
take my
Joey Meek's attorney was arguing, that they're going to have to put him in solitary to protect him.
Yeah.
And therefore, judge, please don't put him in prison.
I mean, from what I know, the Green River Killer's doing great in jail. I just don't understand why he thinks...
Maybe
this is a particularly incendiary case.
It's a very racially stirred case as well. But I think these were the pros and cons that you had to think about when the FBI was questioning you. Like, yeah, you may not have reported it early on, but the time to tell them was when the FBI was shot.
And hold on a second. There were other people. He told other people. Dylan Roof told me that he's going to do this, but don't call the cops. And he stopped other people from potentially stopping this from happening.
But again, if I had a friend that I was concerned about, but I didn't think was going to follow through, I might feel comfortable voicing it to others, but say, well, I don't know if we need to take the big step of calling the cops. I want everyone
even
to
be after
on
I maybe would have, like, counseled with someone who may have known him a little bit better than I did. Like, hey, he's saying XYZ. Do you think we should be alarmed?
Because
if he and I had been out of touch for a number of years, I may not know, like, how serious to take these threats.
Yeah.
Right.
But if they're serious enough for me to think I should remove the gun from him for a period of time, I think they're serious enough to talk to someone else to figure out what his mental state was. And I do feel like he has to take some ownership and responsibility in that. And I did appreciate the fact that he did write a letter to the victim's family apologizing for not coming forth. But I never know how much weight to put on those because I feel like they're really more of a sentencing stunt.
Yeah.
But it did seem like he was sincere
and in his
apology.
On this one, I do, like, 24 months in prison.
27
months in prison.
He could have gotten up to 33 based on the sentencing guidelines.
Yeah, this was the lower end of the scale.
I almost think... You know, give him a week in prison and
week
and house arrest for the remainder of the time.
A week?
I am appalled.
It just seems to
a week. Nine people shot dead while prison.
I personally
don't think he's responsible for that.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, how much responsibility do you put on that?
Yeah.
And I think that's really what the judge had to figure out, and he decided that is 24 months, and I don't disagree.
You just get back in touch. I mean, that's just such an unfortunate time.
I think this is also for our young listeners out there. Be careful who your friends are.
And that's 100%. Yeah, because this certainly can be the consequence.
It's
a heavy consequence, I think.
And that's why I wish a little bit that he had been convicted of failing to tell
Me
authorities,
too.
But
yeah.
he wasn't.
Yeah.
It was just what
but
happened
again,
on the back end.
He pled guilty, so it's... And, you know, we can talk about the system and how we take these plea deals, whether or not we really believe that, you know, we should be pleading guilty to them. So, I don't know.
We could do a whole special.
It did feel, you know, like justice was served to me.
In a very heavy-handed form. Probably could have been a little bit lighter.
Yeah, but. I will say that we should probably do that one of these days.
What's that?
We should really just talk about plea deals and should you enter into...
We did.
I miss this before I came on board?
With Deborah Archuleta, we touched on it a little bit. But yeah, I think we should go a little bit more in-depth into it.
Well, I mean, because last week we talked a little bit about the documentary that Jay-Z is producing that's out now about...
I don't know what... Browder. What's his name? The kid that was also mentioned
in 13th. What's the big deal in New York?
Oh, Rikers.
Khalif.
Yeah. Khalif.
Oh, Khalif Browder.
So
yeah.
I think it'd be a really interesting panel. So if you guys would like to hear that, let us know.
So the other interesting thing that came out of Joey Reek's sort of investigation or his own testimony was he talked about Dylann Roof, because we don't know much about mm-hmm. Dylann Roof. Dylann Roof didn't present any kind of defense, tell us about his background or anything like that. So, but from Joey Meek, we know that Dylann, why can't I say his name?
It's a little tongue-tied.
Whatever, I don't like the guy, I don't want to say his name. His parents were divorced, he lived in houses with swimming pools, and his parents gave him most anything he wanted. That's probably where they went wrong. Mm-hmm. Joey Meek says he didn't perceive Mr. Roof as depressed or as having an anger problem. So actually, that would make it more likely that he meant what he was saying. He didn't have an anger problem. He was just authentically sharing his hatred for black people.
And I've always struggled. Here's a struggle. So I always grew up to believe that you respect our differences that we have amongst each other, and that although we may not always believe the same things or about rights that we should all have, you can agree to disagree. But it's hard for me to agree to disagree with individuals who have such strong beliefs that an entire race shouldn't be
here.
So it's like, how do you, and it's a question to you guys, it's like, how do you respect other people's beliefs that are so out there?
I don't. Sorry.
I think
this is why.
I end up trying to look for some sort of common ground.
Yeah.
I try to find some little.
No, but guys, this was a spoiled kid. I mean, the truth is if this was a guy who was a little like uneducated but down on his luck, he had been fired from a job and the person who replaced him was a black person, a minority, and then he's like, these people are taking my jobs and. You know, he's wrong in that, but that...
It's his reasoning that's kind of messed up that you can kind of speak to.
Exactly. Yeah. Here, so I can see some people have, like, you know, somebody else is taking my job, you know, that kind of thing. Seemed like this was a spoiled kid who got everything he wanted, who had no real reason to dislike
there's probably some sort of mental disorder there once you take that extra step.
And the other thing that, you know, we're forgetting is that he, you know, I lived in the South, and it's still, racism is still pretty pervasive, even though it seems so far-fetched to me living here in L.A.
Yeah, I think it's also a mental health issue, and so maybe we all need to be better equipped to identify it and then know who to report it to.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the way he handled his case, Dylann Roof, some part of you has to think there is some sort of mental issue here. Why do you want to represent yourself? You know, it's not the smartest thing to do. Then you want to do it in the sentencing phase. And so, to me, there's something, a disconnect, and maybe...
But he couldn't have been that mentally ill, otherwise the judge wouldn't have allowed him to represent himself.
No, I think he would find stand trial, but I do think there was a mental disorder there that I think maybe we need to be better at identifying and then knowing who to go to.
Well, good luck with the new Trump care, getting that taken care of. Okay, before I digress too far, we have been following this Lee Baca saga for months. Actually, not years. I remember
the
Baca
saga, I like that.
When I first started on the show over 2 years ago, we were talking about the undersheriff, Paul Tanaka, being tried and convicted. And we were wondering, oh, my gosh, is Baca next? And I totally thought yes. And I wish I could find a clip of that. And I would show it because I love being like, yes, I was right. And we've been following this case about how he interfered with an FBI investigation looking into whether there was corruption and abuse inside of the jails. Mm-hmm. 10 people have been convicted. Yeah. Of this, and Lee Baca was like, I had no idea it was going on.
I think this is another case of lying for your friends.
I didn't.
Yeah, right.
he lied to authorities saying he didn't know anything was going on, and this is the second trial. We talked about in December how there was a mistrial declared. Mm-hmm. I think that was like the last show of the year.
Yeah.
We're ending off on
possibly a mistrial.
Justice is misserved, if that's a word, misserved. And so I was thrilled with the outcome of this second trial. Right. It almost came out of nowhere. We've been so stuck in political mode that I didn't even realize that this trial was going on until I saw the verdict that he had been convicted.
The strategy finally worked. You know, prosecutors, they like to go after the smaller, the easier fruit before they get to the big fruit to kind of help build their case. Mm-hmm. And so finally here, it worked.
So the prosecutors put on a very different case this second time around. I mean, they really had to make a big change because the last time around, The vote was 11-1 to acquit Lee Baca. So they really changed things up. They decided not to put forth certain witnesses. And in not putting forth those witnesses, they got the judge to agree that witnesses that would speak to Lee Baca's good behavior couldn't testify.
Yeah, and that's one thing that if listeners should know is when you put in evidence of bad behavior, they can then rebut with evidence of good behavior. Yeah.
So in not doing the bad behavior one, then the defense didn't get to put on those good behavior witnesses. In fact, there was only one witness for the defense. That's it. And then what else was different about this one? Oh, in the last one, the whole issue about the Alzheimer's was left out. So the judge had broken up the three charges into two cases. And in this case, all three charges were put back together. So the Alzheimer's thing was allowed to be mentioned here, where it wasn't in the last case.
And you got a complete picture about, you know, how he lied to the investigators and exactly what the effect of the Alzheimer's might have been.
And then there was a witness that they put on this time that was not put on last time. This witness was one of the sheriffs who is sitting in jail right now for participating in this scandal. And apparently the jurors found that person credible. It's always risky when you put somebody on the stand who is themselves serving prison time. But that all seemed to work. It took less than like 2 days for this jury to convict him of three felonies. They're obstruction of justice because the FBI was trying to investigate and Lee Baca found out about it and
moved and shuffled.
There has got to be like an O.J. Simpson. What was the show that you did?
American Crime Story.
American Crime Stories for this.
Yeah. Speaking of, he is eligible for parole this year, O.J.
Which is crazy to me. I'm like, I feel like he just went to jail.
Oh man, it's been a while. I've been following that case for
just
a minute.
You know how he just, you know, just seems like things happen so quickly. I'm like, did he just go
that
to jail?
That robbery was.
But
quick,
it's funny because you know he went. Totally digress. We are not going to sit here and talk about O.J. So. I was getting ready to go fully in on that.
Well, when he does, we will go way into that. But I just think, I mean, this story is meant for television.
Yeah.
Somebody is going to write about this, and we're going to watch this, and we should do the special on that.
I can't wait.
So now we're waiting to see if he will spend
20 years.
20 years. That's what he's facing. The defense...
I don't think he'll get 20 years. I just want to go ahead and put that out there.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask that after I mentioned that the defense wants there to be some sort of Alzheimer's testing, medical evidence that is put forth before sentencing.
But I almost think you get pretty good treatment medically-wise,
you
know?
You do.
When you're in prison.
Well, from what I hear.
You get good medical treatment.
And might be better.
Do you agree with me that the Alzheimer's should have nothing to do with
No, because I feel like sentencing is about what your state of mind was at the time and your remorse now. I feel like if he has Alzheimer's, he doesn't remember doing it in the first place. Where's the remorse?
The defense wanted to put forth that the Alzheimer's is what caused him to lie to investigators.
I think it needs to be taken into consideration to a degree when it comes to sentencing, I think you need to figure out what degree of care this prison inmate will need 5-10 years down the line.
Well, that's something that they can put forth when they're trying to decide where he's going, what jail he's going to.
Yeah, but so, you know.
Put him in his own jail. Leave him in like a county jail.
That's my thought. I feel like he should have to go to a county jail, personally.
Oh, because.
Like.
I just don't know.
Karma can be really quick.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know the effect of Alzheimer's and how much work needs to go into taking care of someone with Alzheimer's.
So I would love for us to also talk about the treatment that a lot of these patients that have medical issues do get. There was just a case actually last week of guards throwing an inmate in who had schizophrenia into a shower in boiling hot water until he died.
And they weren't convicted.
They actually didn't even bring charges. Their attorney general decided to let them walk. And so I truly think that there needs to be some light shed on how these medical conditions are actually being treated in jail by the guards. I think there needs to be a little conversation around that.
And I think that affects sentencing to a degree. Well, what kind of support and care will he be able to get 5-10 years down the line if this Alzheimer's continues to progress the way it's progressing?
Right.
He's 74 years old.
Yeah, so Alzheimer's, irrespective of that, there's also, you know.
There's that. It's like they could give him 20 years. What are we
thinking he's going to get? So keep in mind.
10 years.
He will finish out his life in prison.
Oh.
I don't know about that. I think they can give him 10 years, 8 to 10 years.
So
I think that's...
Paul Tanaka got 5 years for obstruction of justice and conspiracy. Remember that Lee Baca has on top of that making false statements to federal investigators.
Right. Yeah, so I can see 8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And I can see maybe going with 8 given the severity of the Alzheimer's and what evidence I heard about it.
I don't think I think Alzheimer's should come into it.
I could see him getting eight and him actually only serving four.
Well, if it turns, but if it turns out that your Alzheimer's diagnosis,
he
the
was
way
an
it needs to be treated,
man of the community.
But if it turns out it's a burden on the actual system, if it's worse for the system to
Let's
have to
send
treat
him to
you,
a private prison.
But do you know what I'm saying? Like if it's a burden for the prison system, I think there needs to be some sort of weight as to maybe I don't want him in there 5-6 years.
Let a private prison handle it.
But don't
they'll
they?
Find
but
a way
nowadays,
to be really
don't they have
about it.
Don't they have mental institutions that are almost like hospitals that
those,
you can send
didn't
people
Reagan
to?
Get rid of those in the 80s? That was the thing. He closed down all the mental hospitals and all those people ended up going to jail.
No. You can if you're found not to be fit to stand trial, you go to an institution where they treat you. Yeah, so there may be...
Isn't there a treatment center we can send him to?
So, no. And I think there might be.
So, like you're saying...
Guys,
no, you're
he
saying,
needs to go
think,
to,
so you
he
guys
needs
are
to go to prison.
Me.
Prison.
Yeah. No, but I think there
but
needs to be...
But if he needs help, medical... You're just trying to dispel my whole point that I just made a second ago. If these individuals have a medical condition to where they should not be in a prison or a county jail, there has to be a place for them.
Exactly.
Do I need to create one? Thought.
But yeah, it needs to be taken into consideration. Mm-hmm. I think sentencing should take the totality
I'm
of circumstances.
Create some centers for these.
Yeah.
Get some federal money going to a good
Chelsea's
place.
Not happy.
I mean, for some reason, I mean, I just am so offended by what he did here.
No, I am too, but the judge has to look at whether or not treating
if
the Alzheimer's.
If he's sick. Yeah, he's sick. I mean,
but what he allowed to happen to people in under his watch in those jails is sick.
We don't disagree. Okay. What we're saying is that at this point
he's already won.
If he's sick and doesn't need to be in a jail because they can't care for him, we have to be mindful of that.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to consider
because
this.
Because the beautiful United States of America wants to treat people, even if they're in prison, with civil liberties.
Let's just give them Trump care and call it a day. Okay.
Now, that I wouldn't be upset at. I don't feel like...
I've always
wondered, if you're a person of means and you're in jail, can you pay for better health care?
I mean... I don't
like
know
what
healthcare.
Does your putting money in your books? Your, what all can that money go to?
What does that
commissary,
entail? I guess.
Can it go to a better mattress? Can it go to better sheets? Like these are the questions that I have about.
And I think
it's
something we do need to discuss, given the fact that we have private prisons kind of ramping back up. Yeah.
Right, so. They're huge right now.
Future
so if you go to a swanky private
prison, I wonder if
Lee Baca
and Jeff Sessions are like on the
they
same
could be
page.
BFFs.
They could be BFFs.
He's going to whatever jail Martha Stewart went to.
No, he's not. Don't say that.
Federal prison could be.
Okay, I'm
right. Federal prisons are, from what I hear, depending on
if you
side
get to
the
right one,
you're on.
Oh, it's like camp.
It's like a resort.
Yeah, some of them call it Club Fed.
Yes. Yeah. I was gonna skip.
You guys are making public corruption sound sexy. Stop.
Well, but it's true. There are certain prisons that treat the prisoners, and maybe it's not a bad thing to treat the prisoners like individuals and people that just happen to have done something wrong.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
But only if that's true across the board.
Of course.
Not for Lee Baca.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we move on?
Yes.
Okay. How's this for, like, a great story, but it pisses you off at the same time?
Yeah.
A judge has overturned the conviction of a man who spent 32 years in prison for a crime that he says he didn't commit. Prosecutors still say, not so sure he didn't commit it, but they do agree that he didn't get a fair trial. Mm. We're talking...
But they're also not going to retry the case.
Right. So we're talking about... What's Wilson? Wilson? What's Mr. Wilson's first name? I can't remember his first name. I will find it eventually. Mm-hmm. But the judge ordered after 32 years for him to be released after Loyola Law School's Project for the Innocents worked on his case for a couple of years, found all the classic errors that, in a trial.
Yeah.
Evidence of exculpatory evidence was not shared. There was a bad eyewitness. There was,
knowingly false statements.
The recipe for a wrongful conviction was
there.
Were
all there, like all the every single like mark on the box were there.
And this was for a robbery and murder in 1984 of a stabbing death of a 21-year-old kid. It's a they call it a man, 21-year-old kid with a disorder that kept his blood from clotting. And we were kind of talking about that detail
Hansen,
before about whether the fact that Christopher Hansen, the victim in this case, had this disorder that kept his blood from clotting and that's why he died, has any bearing on this
Well, it might normally have some bearing, but the fact that this guy didn't do it, so it has no bearing.
I think that just crosses that out, and it's not something that we have to go into today. But what I was sharing earlier before we started filming today is that I just have a really hard time with our system in how we treat wrongly convicted individuals. Yeah. And so for those that don't know, if you are wrongly convicted for a crime, you typically can get compensation from the state to put you where you should have been had you not have been in jail financially. Unfortunately, a lot of these states,
The rules make it extremely tough
and to
there's
get.
Caps in a lot of states too.
The caps are very unreasonable to what even the average day wage would be in that particular state. So it's really, really gruesome. But to give you guys a little bit more color to the situation, once you have been wrongly convicted and you're released, you then in the state of California have to go before a compensation board and prove that you are factually innocent to even be awarded any type of compensation. On top of that, if we look at the last 5 years, there have been over 132 wrongly convicted individuals in the state of California. Yeah. Only 11, I had to relook at the stats, you guys, only 11 have actually been compensated for these wrongful convictions. So it's just, it's hard to tell somebody, hey, we agree that you didn't do this. We're not going to retry you. But now you have an even bigger battle to fight, to be put back at your rightful place before you went into jail.
And to some degree, it's purposeful because we have had a lot of wrongful convictions in this country, especially 60s, 70s, you know, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And you don't want to bankrupt a state either. So there needs to be some way that we can...
You're going to get her going.
No, because to me, if you actually paid wrongful people that were wrongfully convicted what they should be paid, you're going to be looking at state budget issues like a budget crisis. And so there needs to be some sort of balancing test to compensate people
fully. I'm sure we could find...
Well, here's my thought about this.
Yeah.
The federal government gives these states roughly between $70 and $85 per day per inmate. Mm-hmm. So my thought is, you could at least give me what you got.
Yeah.
Like, at the very minimum, you that shouldn't bankrupt you. Like, you're giving me exactly what you were given outside of your state.
But they spent that. But they spent that money.
True.
It's already
but
gone.
Should you? But that's the problem.
But they were going to keep paying that for the rest of his life. So why not just give it to him?
So then you're asking the federal government to then compensate.
Well, somebody. I just feel like you've been made richer.
The state
a lot
had
of these,
the money
a lot
to keep him in prison. Why can't they just give him that money that they were spending on him?
But it's no. So the federal government's giving them that money.
The state was also paying
per day.
So there's a portion of the money that comes from the federal government, and then there's a small portion that comes from county.
So the minute they're released, the federal government money stops. So you can't give them that money because it's already been spent.
I agree 1,000%. So then I'm like, well, how do we move into a better system so that when this does happen, it doesn't bankrupt the state, but you can still
take out an insurance policy. The state of California could take it, or individual states can take out insurance policies.
And once it's drawn down 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, then guess what? The premium is going to be way too much for the state to afford. You know,
it's a really screwed up situation. But here's my thing: whether you're putting into a trust $10 a day for every day of the 80 that you got,
there has to be a way to figure out how many people are wrongfully convicted.
I just told you 132,
and how many a year are going to How many a year are going to be found to be innocent and calculate
11
and
hopefully more than 11.
But again, that really only works going forward. So
that was my thing. So in 2004, the state of California redid their system because they realized at that point it was worse than what it is now, but it still has a long way to go. And I think it's about putting preventative measures in place for those that, you know, come behind these individuals. Like, I may not be able to make you particularly whole right now,
but I
want to help the situation because, I mean, even what we were talking about, the documentary that Jay-Z's producing about an inmate that killed himself after getting out of Rikers, because of the place that he was put after he got out, he was found, like, he hadn't even gone to trial. Like, he was found innocent at his original trial, and when he got out, that stigma was still on him so much that he killed himself. Yeah. So it's like, we have to do something to better help that funnel when these individuals get out of jail. Yeah. Like, you Google their name, it's still going to pop up that they were originally tried and convicted. Like, how do you get a job? Like, your parents may have died in that time. Like, I don't know how you compensate someone for 30 years of their life.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
And I think we start with, like, these victim funds, and I think maybe we start with maybe some sort of state job work program.
Yeah.
And
so doctors have to have malpractice insurance.
Yeah. State should have malpractice insurance.
But again, with the way the insurance industry works, there's no way to
I think that
it would be sustained.
Yeah. I mean, the same way that we have...
They can do self-insured fund.
But I mean, like, let's think about it like this, you guys. Sometimes our government can't fix everything.
Yeah.
And so maybe this comes on individual citizens to kind of say, hey, I agree that this is screwed up, and I've been out here working my butt off for the last few years, so I'm going to put money into a fund to make sure that these individuals have a life again.
Yeah, whether it's not, maybe it's something on the tax form that says donate a dollar or two,
I mean, we do when we pay our ongoing fee every year to maintain our law license, whether we want to contribute much money on top of the $400 a year that we pay to maintain.
It's very hard for me to click that box.
How many times do you actually click it?
Very hard. I don't, because I'm like, I just gave you $500. Like, just.
So we're all a little bit guilty of maybe not adding to the solution.
Right, but I mean, let's talk to Warren Buffett. He has said he's giving all his money away before he dies. There goes the fund there.
We're good.
All right. So we are, I'm looking at my computer is going to die before the show is over. I'm like,
we have to talk about Ivanka.
Oh, okay. Mm. You want to go there next? Let's talk about Ivanka.
Stories about Ivanka lately, actually.
This case is really interesting to me. I really wanted to get your guys' perspective on it, because when I read it, I was just kind of like, I get where Mac is coming from in the lawsuit.
At first, I thought it was Mac Cosmetics. It's not.
It's not. It's something totally. That's their acronym for a longer name. And so you guys, before you guys go give them hate mail, it's not our MAC beautiful lipstick that I have.
Or support, depending on which
side. Or support, I don't know where you are. So you want to give like a breakdown?
Yeah, so there's a clothing company that owns several stores that says that Ivanka Trump's brands are getting an unfair advantage because of her proximity to the president. Mm-hmm. And it amounts so much unfairness that it violates the law.
Yeah. And we've seen that with the Trump hotels as well.
And so this MAC group is seeking damages and restitution, and get this, a permanent injunction barring Ivanka Trump goods from being sold in California. I would like that kind of thing.
I think it's very interesting, but I kind of was like, okay, how do you even like really know? Like, you know, like,
well,
I thought it was interesting. So they said that, according to this thing called The List, which is a fashion search engine, the Ivanka Trump brand jumped from the 550th spot to 11th since her dad has been in office. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that actually does tell a very compelling story.
When Kellyanne Conway gives you commercials.
But here's my thing. My thing is this. You,
BRB,
how do we... Are you really going
to
be back?
I have to plug in. Otherwise, I'm totally screwed.
Okay. While she plugs in, I just really don't know that we should be barring her entire brand from a state because of who her dad is.
No, yeah, I agree.
I do think that there should be some parameters around it not being discussed by White House officials, for sure.
Kellyanne Conway's commercial was a little bit ridiculous.
Was a little much.
And no,
responsible for that. As much as I
I'm just saying that there should be parameters.
Ivanka
shouldn't be, but I'm saying in the future, if we get more businessmen who decide to run for, or businesswomen decide to run for office, there should be parameters for how your brands can be used or talked about in official White House business.
No, I think there are parameters.
Well, no one is following this.
Exactly, that's the problem.
Yeah.
But what I do want to know is if there's any evidence that there are block purchases of her stuff by foreign governments or foreign actors, or so that to me would be interesting.
Yeah.
If there have been huge purchases by
Russia decides not to hold her merchandise.
Not even Russia. It's some businessman in California buying $10 million worth of dresses for no reason. That's the kind of thing that worries me, is to whether or not people are engaging in consumerism,
inflating her brand on purpose
to curry favor with the president.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, at first when I saw this headline, I'm like, there's no way that this class action can prevail. I mean, it's very difficult to prove. Yeah. And it's like not all her fault that her father's president and that it's a bit of a windfall publicity-wise.
Yeah, but then, only if people are buying it and trying with the attempt of currying favor with the president, then I think it's an issue. So unless they have that kind of evidence.
So what are the chances you think that they...
I think it'll be dismissed.
I think it'll be dismissed, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going
to... I hope that it sparks conversation around putting some more policies in place.
But what doesn't make sense to me is that... So you shared about how sales for her went way up, but then Nordstrom and other retailers have dropped her because
No. What's gone up is the brand awareness.
No, but her sales... I think she did have record sales
But
recently.
She has had record sales since she's... So
remember, Trump supporters
she's making
are,
money.
Trump supporters are buying this. You know, they're buying her brand in support of her, whether it's through online or wherever they're able to find it. Not Nordstrom's.
I will say this: I have always been a fan of Ivanka's. I think she is
of her clothes or
no
of her.
Of her. I don't like her father, but I would
still
be really upset.
Still a fan of Ivanka's?
Of hers? Right,
currently, yeah.
Not so much. But I'm saying that. I have a hard time holding her accountable for someone else's actions. Now, if she, you know, got up and said half the stuff that her dad did or was constantly in agreement with what her dad said.
I think she's silently agreeing.
I think she silently does. But, like, if she came out and spewed half the stuff that he did, then,
I would
hate her too,
Ivanka
but
just took an office in the White House. She has not relinquished control of her businesses.
Well, and that's a whole other issue, which gets back to my point that there should be some parameters.
If this were not... Ivanka and Ivanka directly profiting, and she'd already put this in a blind trust with somebody else. There's no issue.
I mean,
issue.
She's
There's
tried
no
to
issue.
Separate herself from her brand.
But she has.
Except it's still Ivanka Trump, so how do you really separate yourself?
She could have put the brand in a blind trust. She could have, and then they could have decided to maybe rebrand for a certain period of time. Or I know the Trump sons are now doing the Scion Hotels, kind of to rebrand and distance themselves from the Trump name. She could have done that as well, especially given the fact that I feel like she already knew she didn't get that office in the White House.
Security clearance?
Yeah.
I cannot believe that.
So given her position now, I think she does need
to
do more.
I already have a problem with her.
Separate herself from the brand.
I had a problem with her getting the office in the White House.
I don't have a problem with getting the office. I just have a problem with keeping the business. Look, we elected Trump, right?
And speak for yourself.
No. We have to agree that we have collectively elected Trump. Whether or not
I don't know. I believe Comey might tell us something differently.
If you didn't vote for him, you didn't do enough to make sure other people didn't.
Hold on. Once we find out the result of this Russia investigation, then we can have this conversation. I may or may not agree with you.
But my point is. With Trump, you know that he's all about family. So it was no surprise at some point he's going to make sure they're taken care of. And whether that means an office in the White House, that to me seems perfectly reasonable. If they divest themselves from their businesses and they
shield it.
Because otherwise,
they're operating private businesses out of the
White House. And these kind of lawsuits will continue to happen.
Personally think that moving forward, all of their profits... While they're in office,
should go to people wrongly convicted of crimes. God,
you
justice
see,
is served.
You knew
right?
where my brain was going.
We're on the same wavelength.
I just don't feel like they should be able to hold on to those profits.
Yeah, or how about the $183 million a year that we're spending on Secret Service and stuff protecting Trump Tower and Melania?
Or the frequent Mar-a-Lago trips.
And
anyways,
I also don't
story.
Think they should be paid. Or they should not be compensated while they're in the White House.
Trump is saying he's donating
to
his,
who?
Oh, I don't know.
Let me see the receipt.
He says at the end of the year he will be donating his salary.
Well, we won't know because he's not going to release the tax form that would have told us.
I'm going to give him a little, credit for
the
fact
check.
That I do believe he will donate that salary.
I think
in
he
a very
will too. That's
way.
Like legit.
Isn't the salary of a president, it's like 400.
Like,
that's a
he don't need it.
Drop in the bucket compared
saying,
to what he's costing.
Not even what he paid in taxes.
But you know what? Oh, yeah, of course. Not even close. But you know what? He said he'd do it. If he does it, I give him a little check on that
I would like
point.
To see who he's going to donate it to. Like, let it be something worthwhile.
Yeah.
If he donated it to the Sons of the Anarchy, I'm just going to look at him like he's...
I think it'll go probably
He's
to,
going to donate it to victims of crimes committed by immigrants. he created this voice. Did you hear about
this?
Well,
the database
for
states, right?
Immigration crimes...
So states can now, I believe, report crimes committed by immigrants. Illegal immigrants.
Yeah. This is... All right, that's where my money is on that. Where his money is going. Okay, all right. Moving on to what I hope is a successful lawsuit. Dear God, I hope this works out. A city is suing a pharmaceutical company for making a drug that has caused an opioid epidemic in their city.
Well, interestingly enough, they're not just suing them because they made the drug.
Or because they allowed it to...
Well, no, they're suing them because of a investigation that was released regarding how the drug is getting into the streets.
Right. So,
which is really interesting to me, and I don't understand why formal charges weren't brought.
Yeah.
I just was really confused by that.
So there was a Times investigation where they found out that Everett, Washington, which is near Seattle, is a town of like 100,000 people, and that the makers of OxyContin, Purdue Pharma, I believe is the name of them, had somehow allowed or caused 1.1 million pills of OxyContin to be dumped in this little city. $100,000 is a very small city, right? And so that has caused addiction, overdoses, people turning to heroin, further crimes spurred by that. And so the city is suing because this company knew that somehow drugs were making their way into the city. People were colluding with, you know, rogue pharmacists and doctors to get prescriptions written. There were drugs coming up from here in LA from a gang that would drive the drugs up to the border, and then other people would, you know, take them on planes, like taped to their body, the pills. And then there were so many pills going in that the price of them came way down, and people were getting their hands on them like candy and falling victim to addiction and destroying their lives. And the city has to pay a lot of money out in law enforcement investigations, dealing with the homelessness caused by it. And the city's like, hey, you wreaked millions, if not billions of dollars a year from this. It's time for you to help pay for this mess that you caused.
Yeah, I mean, I think to a degree, as long as it's sort of a... They'll have to prove that they knew or should have known what was taking place.
They did.
And so it's sort of like that with, you know, in most jurisdictions, if the bartender serves you too many drinks and he lets you go drive home, he's going to be liable. And so I think we're looking at the same case here.
And their defense is that there was too many other people involved, like the traffickers and all that, for them to be connected. Like the connection is too tenuous for the drug maker to be responsible.
Well, maybe I misunderstood when I was reading, but I thought the biggest issue is that they did this investigation, the company was aware of it, and they did not release this information over to law enforcement to take it from there.
Yeah.
Yes.
So almost it's like obstruction of justice.
Yeah. And it certainly shows the knowledge of what was taking place. So it's not like this was 1 month, 2 months. Oh, I think we're having an issue here.
The pharmaceutical company knew like specific clinics that were writing tons of prescriptions for this stuff. And of course, they're like, cha-ching, you know, we're not going to say, we don't want to shut down that clinic. They're doing great business for us.
Yeah.
So it's just, this is like the worst of corporate greed and the ugliness of our strain of capitalism. This goes into politics for me.
And maybe just a lack of moral responsibility is what it really is.
But a corporation has no morals, and this is part of the problem. Yeah. And this, I mean, I'm about to get like way political, but this is why I think that the rules of corporations should be changed, because a corporation is, if you ran it through the diagnostic statistical manual, by definition is a sociopath. It cares nothing about anybody else except its own well-being in the form of profits. And so that's what you get.
You prevail in this type of case.
Exactly. Or unless you're
Chick-fil-A.
What? I'm joking.
But so that's exactly why I want this case to succeed against the pharmaceutical company, because that'll be the only way to somewhat instill a conscience in these companies, because it will hurt their bottom line.
Yeah, I hope it sets a precedent. I think they had a duty to disclose this information, and they didn't. And I pray that they're held liable for it.
And they're trying to fend off this suit, saying that a city has no standing. So basically they're saying that the city was not sufficiently harmed, right? Because standing means...
Which I'm like, you had to come up with something better than that. Like, who are your lawyers? Like, that is... Like, of course the city has standing. Because that burden falls back on them for every single victim of an overdose, for
paramedics.
Right. Like, that's extremely hard on the... the city. They and, say, and Everett is not making bank. Like, there, it's not like it's the city of Seattle where they're like, well, okay.
But I do see the argument, because the city just provides certain services regardless, you know? So
right, but if it's...
But if a corporation is sort of causing the expense to go up and they're profiting from it, there's got to be some limit.
I agree, but I think because it's a unique case, it's a first case of its
kind.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it'd be really interesting.
I think it's a very good argument or valid argument to say the city has no standing. They provide these services without any thought to how they're being incurred.
Right, right, right. I just think that the city will be able to make a case that it does.
I think it'll be tough because, you know...
I think it'll be a good case to keep following because, like you said, it's the first of its kind.
Can the city
sue, like, rap artists because they incited people in the city to violence?
Oh, come on.
No. This is completely
That's
in the same
the
realm.
That's not the same thing.
No.
But it has happened.
Opioids kill people.
Oh, and so do
rap
people
songs
that,
do not directly kill people.
Wait, directly. See, if someone killed someone because they heard a rap song and they continue...
Nobody has ever overdosed on rap music.
And they continue making those raps, and that artist knows this, and they continue making those rap songs, can the city then sue because they're having to pay for all these hospital bills?
As many people die of rap music as do of drug overdoses, then we can have a conversation about
think,
it. But it is...
Well, I think legally, once you find them, the city has standing here, you're putting that whole argument into play. And
that
I think that,
is
that
very
and
interesting.
I think that'll
we
be
have
the
so many other stories
issue.
to cover, including the one that we didn't even get to from last week, the pink slime one. But now I'm getting the let's wrap up flag waved. So we've got to wrap this up.
To be continued.
To be continued. Next week, I hope you'll come back and join us. In the meantime, like, comment, share, subscribe. You can tweet at me at Chelsea Galicia. Dominique.
And you can find me on all social media platforms at DominiqueP_ESQ.
And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Okay, come back next week. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.